Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know why you're here, right? You want the knowledge. And you want it fast.
Efficiently delivered. I like that.
That's what we're all about. And today we are diving into something that is absolutely fundamental to online success. How do search engines like Google actually find and understand websites?
Yeah, we're talking about how to make sure your website, your content, your business doesn't just disappear into the vastness of the internet.
Invisible. Exactly. Now, our mission today, and we are going to be guided by this really cool checklist, is to unpack what can sometimes be a bit of an overlooked area, you know, the world of technical SEO.
Now, I know SEO can seem a bit, well, technical, but think of it this way. It's like laying the foundation of a house. If the foundation isn't strong, the whole structure is going to be shaky.
Love that analogy. Yeah. It really is about making sure the infrastructure of your website is speaking the language of search engines.
Right. It's like trying to have a conversation with someone who speaks a completely different language. It's not going to be very effective.
Exactly. So this checklist we're working from, I got to say, it's pretty comprehensive. It really pinpoints those critical areas for a solid technical foundation.
Yeah, and we're here to extract the most valuable, the most actionable insights from this checklist for you.
Okay, let's do it. So the checklist starts off talking about crawlability and indexability.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound a bit like jargon. What's the core idea here?
Yeah, it can sound a bit intimidating, but in simple terms, crawlability means, can search engine bots, these are those little automated programs that scour the web, can they actually access all the important pages on your website?
So they can go everywhere they need to go.
Exactly. And then indexability, that refers to whether those pages, once they've been crawled, can actually be added to a search engine's index. You can think of the index like a giant library.
The search engine's library. Got it.
Right. So if a page can't be crawled, it obviously can't be indexed. And if it's not in the index, well, it won't show up in search results.
So it's really like step one, making sure that foundation is set.
Exactly.
So the checklist mentions something called a robots.txt file. What exactly does that do?
Okay, so robots.txt, it's basically a set of instructions. It's a simple text file that sits on your website, and it tells search engine crawlers which pages or sections of your site they should not crawl.
Oh, so it's like setting boundaries for the bots.
Precisely. It's super useful. For example, if you have some duplicate content, maybe like a staging area for your website, things you don't want showing up in search results.
Right, behind the scenes stuff.
Exactly. You can use robots.txt to say, hey, stay away from this stuff.
So the checklist also warns about accidentally blocking important content. How can you avoid making that mistake?
That's a great question. And that's where tools like Google Search Console come in really handy. You can actually use Search Console to test your robots.txt file and make sure you're not unintentionally blocking pages that you do want to be visible in search.
Well, so you can double check. That's good.
Yeah, it's worth checking regularly, you know, just to avoid any accidental self-sabotage.
Nobody wants that.
Right. And I think another often overlooked benefit of a well-configured robots.txt file, it can actually help conserve your crawl budget.
Crawl budget. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So this is like a limited amount of time and resources that search engines will dedicate to crawling your website. So by using robots.txt to disallow less important URLs, you can make sure the bots are focusing on your most valuable content.
That's interesting. It's like you don't want them wasting time going down rabbit holes.
Exactly.
Okay. Next up, we've got sitemaps. I always thought of a sitemap as being for users to navigate a website. Is it the same for search engines?
It's a similar concept. It's still a roadmap, but it's specifically formatted for search engines. So it's called an XML sitemap. And it's basically a list of all the important URLs on your website laid out in a very structured format.
It's like a table of contents for your site.
Exactly. And this helps search engines discover all of your content, even if your internal linking isn't perfect. Or maybe you have some new pages that haven't been linked to yet.
I see. So it's like giving them a direct path to all your important stuff.
Right. It's like saying, hey, search engines, here's an up-to-date inventory of everything you need to know about.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, the checklist mentions submitting your sitemap to Google Search Console and other search engines. Why is that a necessary step?
Good question. So submitting your sitemap, it's a direct line of communication to the search engines. It basically ensures they know exactly where to find your sitemap and can easily access the most up-to-date version, especially when you publish new content or make changes to your website.
Okay, so it's like sending them a notification that, hey, things have changed.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's something that always sounds universally problematic. Broken links. The checklist highlights this as a major roadblock, not only for search engines, but obviously for user experience.
Yeah, nothing more frustrating than clicking on a link and getting a 404 error page.
Right. So how do you efficiently identify all those broken links, especially on a larger website?
So manually checking for broken links would be a nightmare.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Right. That's where SEO audit tools like Screaming Frog come in. They crawl your entire website kind of like a search engine would, but they specifically look for any broken links, both internal links, so those are links pointing to other pages within your site.
Gotcha.
And external links. Those are links pointing to other websites. Fixing these is crucial, not just for users, but also for search engine crawlers, so they can navigate your site without hitting those dead ends.
It's like making sure all the roads on your website are actually leading somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay. The final point in this section is server status codes. Now, this sounds pretty technical. What do we need to know about those?
All right. So server status codes, think of them as automatic messages that your server sends back every time a browser or a search engine tries to access a page on your website.
Like the receipt?
Yeah, kind of. And these codes communicate the outcome of that request. There are a lot of different codes, but we really want to focus on the ones that indicate there's a problem.
The red flags.
Right. So for example, a 404 not found error, that means the requested page doesn't exist. 5XX errors. Those indicate there's a problem with the server itself. And those can really disrupt crawling and create a bad user experience.
Okay, so if you're seeing a lot of those, that's a sign you need to investigate further.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to the next section of the checklist, which is website architecture and information hierarchy. Basically, how your website is structured and organized.
Exactly. And having a clear, well-organized website, it benefits everyone. Oh. For your visitors, it makes it easy to find the information they're looking for. And for search engines, it helps them understand the relationship between your different pages and the overall hierarchy of your content.
So it's about creating a logical flow.
Precisely.
The checklist mentions aiming for a flat structure where no page is more than 3 or 4 clicks from the homepage. Why is that so important?
Okay, so a flatter structure generally means your most important content is more easily accessible. Search engines, they tend to give more weight to pages that are closer to the homepage. It's also just better for users. No one wants to click through 5 or 6 pages to find what they're looking for.
Right. People have short attention spans. Make it easy for them.
Exactly. So the closer your key pages are to the homepage, the better.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the checklist also talks about internal linking. We touched on fixing broken links. But what's the strategic value of good internal linking?
Okay, so strategic internal linking, it's all about intentionally connecting related content on your website. And this encourages visitors to explore more of your site. From an SEO standpoint, it helps distribute what we call link juice. You can think of it like passing authority and importance from one page to another.
Passing the torch.
Yeah. And this helps search engines understand the relationship between your different pages and what your website is really about.
So it's not just about randomly linking pages together. There's a real strategy behind it.
Exactly. It should always be relevant and make sense for the user.
Okay. And then there's URL structure. I've definitely seen some URLs that are like this jumbled mess of random characters. The checklist mentions that descriptive URLs containing relevant keywords are better. Why is that?
Well, descriptive URLs give both users and search engines a clear understanding of what the page is about before they even click the link. And having those relevant keywords in the URL can actually give you a bit of a ranking boost. On the other hand, those really long, messy URLs, they're just not user-friendly, and they can be harder for search engines to understand.
So keep it clean, concise, and make it clear what the page is about.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's shift gears to mobile friendliness. Pretty safe to say these days that a huge amount of internet browsing happens on mobile phones.
Oh, yeah. We're way past the tipping point. Huh. For many websites, mobile traffic is the majority of their traffic. So making sure your site provides a great mobile experience is absolutely essential.
Right. And the checklist emphasizes the importance of responsive design. What exactly does that mean?
Responsive design means that your website automatically adjusts its layout and elements to fit different screen sizes, whether it's a desktop, a tablet, or a smartphone.
So it's like a chameleon. It adapts to its environment.
Exactly.
Now, the checklist mentions Google's mobile-friendly test. What kind of insights can we get from that tool?
Oh, it's super useful. It gives you a quick assessment of how Google sees your website on mobile. Just enter your URL and Google will analyze it and let you know if there are any major issues, like text that's too small, elements that are too close together, anything that might impact the mobile user experience.
It's like getting a checkup from Google.
Right. Okay. It's a really good starting point to see how you're doing.
Okay. And then under mobile, we have mobile page speed. I think we've all experienced the frustration of a slow-loading website on our phones. Why is that such a critical factor for SEO?
Yeah. People are impatient, especially on mobile. If your website takes too long to load, they're going to bounce. Google knows this, and they've said explicitly that page speed is a ranking factor, especially for mobile.
So it's not just about user experience. It can actually affect your search rankings.
Absolutely. And Google's Page Speed Insights tool is your best friend here. It measures your site speed on both mobile and desktop and gives you tailored recommendations on how to improve.
So it diagnoses the problem and gives you the prescription.
Exactly.
Okay. Moving on to content and on-page optimization, specifically the technical aspects mentioned in the checklist.
All right, let's dig in.
First up, we've got meta tags. Specifically, title tags and meta descriptions. These are the things we see all the time in search results. What makes them technically important?
So meta tags, they're basically snippets of code that provide information about a web page to search engines and to users. And they're important because they give context. They tell search engines and users what your page is about.
So they'll give a little summary.
Exactly. The title tag is what shows up as the blue clickable headline in search results. And the meta description, that's the short snippet of text that appears below the title. Optimizing these with relevant keywords helps search engines understand what your page is about.
And it can also entice users to click on your result.
Absolutely. It's like your website's first impression in the search results.
Okay, so make it count. Next up, we have headings. Your H1, H2, H3 tags, and so on. I know they help break up text and improve readability, but how do they factor into the technical SEO side of things?
So headings, they provide structure and hierarchy to your content. The H1 tag is usually for the main title of the page. H2 and H3 tags are subheadings, breaking the content down into logical sections. And this helps both users and search engines understand the key topics and the organization of your content.
So it's like providing a clear outline.
Exactly.
And then lastly, in this section, we have image optimization. We know we need to compress images to improve page load times. What are the other technical considerations for images?
So compressing images is definitely key for page speed, but alt text, alternative text descriptions, these are also crucial, both for SEO and for accessibility. Alt text is basically a short description that you add to an image as code. Yeah. And if the image fails to load for any reason, the alt text will be displayed instead.
So it's like a backup for images.
Yeah. And for SEO, search engines can't see images the same way humans do, so they rely on alt text to understand what the image is about. Using good descriptive alt text can really improve your website's visibility in image search results, and it provides context for search engines about your overall content.
Okay, so it's a good practice for everyone. Now let's delve a bit deeper into performance and speed, specifically focusing on the server side of things. We've talked about overall page speed. But what's the specific importance of server response time?
So server response time is the amount of time it takes for your web server to start responding to a request, whether it's from a user's browser or a search engine crawler. A slow server will slow down your entire website.
It's like the heart of your website.
Exactly. And if the heart's not pumping efficiently, the whole body suffers. So if you're consistently seeing slow server response times, you might need to consider upgrading your hosting or optimizing your server configuration.
Okay, so that's something to keep an eye on. Now let's talk about something that's become increasingly important for online trust and for SEO, security, specifically HTTPS. Why is having a secure connection so crucial these days?
Well, HTTPS, which stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure, it encrypts the communication between a user's web browser and your server. This protects sensitive information, like login details, payment information, and it's just essential for building trust with your visitors.
Especially if you're handling personal data.
Right, and beyond user trust. Google has also made it clear that HTTPS is a ranking factor, so making sure you have a valid SSL certificate, which is the technology that enables HTTPS, mm-hmm. and that your site is fully encrypted. It's really a must-do these days.
Okay, so it's non-negotiable for both security and for SEO.
Exactly.
The final technical aspect in our checklist is log file analysis. This sounds pretty advanced. What is it, and why is it something website owners might want to understand?
So server log files, they're basically detailed records of every request that's made to your server, including requests from search engine crawlers.
So it's like a history of everything that's happened on your server.
Exactly. And analyzing these logs can give you some really valuable insights. You can see crawl errors, see which pages are being crawled the most, identify potential technical issues that might be hurting your SEO. It's a bit more of an advanced technique, but it can be really helpful for diagnosing problems.
It's like getting a behind-the-scenes look at how search engines are interacting with your site.
Right.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Crawlability, indexability, site structure, mobile, content, performance, security, log file analysis. As the checklist points out, identifying these issues is only half the battle. Fixing them is the next step.
You got it. And it can feel like a lot of work, but it's absolutely worth it. Technical SEO is the foundation of a healthy website, and it can make a huge difference in your online visibility.
It's like taking your website to the mechanic for a tune-up.
Right. And regular maintenance can prevent bigger problems down the road.
Okay, so to sum it all up, what's the key takeaway from our deep dive into the world of technical SEO?
The main message is this. Technical SEO is the bedrock of your website's visibility. It's about making sure search engines can find, understand, and index your content. And without that solid foundation, you're making it much harder for people to find you online.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So for our listeners out there, as you think about all these different elements, the crawlability, the architecture, the mobile experience, the security, what do you think is the most impactful, quick win for your own website or a website you're interested in?
Yeah, it's a great question to ask yourself. Maybe run your site through Google's mobile-friendly test. Maybe take a look at your robots.txt file. You might be surprised at what you find.
And even small improvements can make a big difference.
Absolutely. So don't feel overwhelmed. Start with the basics
and
gradually work your way through these technical areas.
Excellent advice. Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us into the often unseen world of technical SEO. We'll see you next time.